This call is being recorded.
Oh, fuck.
Anything you say can and will be used against you. I need to turn off this fan real quick. You
both sound like death right now.
I gotta go grab my burrito. Here, we're gonna actually do this. You're gonna hang out your pen. I'm gonna record this fucking podcast. And then you can play.
He's making deals with his dog.
And it is so good to be back. I have my real microphone, finally, my real computer, not Jeremy's little screwed up little laptop there. This is Pride of Detroit podcast, PODcast. Yeah, I'm throwing the shots.
Already taking pot shots. Jeez.
PrideofDetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. You know where to find us. And I'm going to warn you all right now. I'm Chris Lemieux, the adequate host at Adequate Host. This is not a good morning for any of us. We are, okay, so right now on the West Coast, which is now where all Lions fans are, accordingly, it is now 8:30 in the morning. I've not had a great night. Jeremy, however, is, I don't know, how are you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing great. I'm well rested. I've got 9 hours
of sleep under my belt. I shouldn't
have
asked that, because now you've just, you are the one guy in the room who has had way too much energy interjected, because our other member, Ryan Matthews, back is the motherfucking rock guy, at Ryan underscore POD, had it worse than I think any of us. Ryan, you still with us?
Yeah, we're gonna make this work.
We're going to make it happen. Okay, good. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. You're a fighter. You're a fighter. You never quit.
I don't know if I'm laughing or crying right now.
Both.
Call him Destiny's Child because he's a survivor.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
dude.
This is what this podcast is gonna be like. I'm just gonna make you all groan for an hour and a half. This is gonna be great.
As I said, there's always one the next morning where it's just they have so much energy and so much pep to them. It's like, hey guys, wanna go get some donuts?
No, I'm the guy after a house party that's made French toast for everyone before they even woke up.
That doesn't endear yourself. I just want to let people know you getting up and like cooking hungover people shit, that doesn't endear you. That just makes everyone think you're an asshole.
Makes everyone jealous.
I don't know if we should make this a weekly thing, but like my favorite tweet of the week was somebody who on Twitter goes, hey, did any of your guys' moms ever dip bread in raw egg and fry it? And then the guy goes, dude, you're not special. That's French toast.
Yeah, that's not mama food.
Yeah,
it's that's a special some, secret mama
that's,
food.
Yeah, that's not some secret mama recipe.
I know. Oh god, I saw that one too. Okay, well, we should get on to this, because this is ostensibly a Lions podcast. We try to be, at least
by some metric.
But we do have a lot of Lions content this week. I feel like we were talking about Listcast, and I think we need to do one more before the season begins. But we're going to put that aside, because we have a lot from training camp and we have a lot to talk about from the mock game and to get you ready for the first preseason game of the season. And the reason of the state for at least one of us here, for Ryan Matthews, for the Rock God, is because of training camp. And it is because of that mock game. Ryan, what happened? What happened, my guy?
What happened with what? The mock game?
No, what happened with you?
In terms of what? I don't want to self-incriminate.
Why don't you just run down what happened Saturday from beginning to end?
Saturday morning, I woke up just like any other man would, put his right leg through his pants, put his left leg through his pants. And I went to the mock game, and it was a lot of fun. I didn't sit with any of the other cool kids, like Alex Reno or Brett Whitefield or Kent Lee Platy or Jeff Risden. I sat with my friends, one of them who was wearing a Zach Follett jersey, so that was great. the mock game was actually more interesting than I thought it was going to be. I'm glad it wasn't as interesting as it was last year because of, you know, Ian Rappaport reasons. But beyond that, I went home. I played Overwatch with Alex Reno. And I didn't want to go to the bar, but he made me go.
Oh, we're passing off the blame to him now.
This is what people do who have problems. It's anybody's fault but mine. It was really fun, though. I don't want to drop names, but there are a lot of people at this bar in Wixom, and we had drinks and we drunk them.
I'm already seeing some names being dropped, though. I don't know. Can we keep it that secret?
Yeah, we can let people do their own investigative research, but yeah. Okay. So I don't know. That was my Saturday.
That's a very simplified version of events, but we will take them.
We'll let you slide with that. Let's talk about some results then. Let's talk about some Lions, because last time we talked, the Lions were right about to break camp, and now they're, forgive the crude term, they're balls deep in training camp. So let's hear from you, Ryan, since you've been to, what, 3 practices now?
I have.
Yeah, you're practically a goddamn beat writer now.
All right, let's relax. Okay, so Tuesday when I went to practice, that was the first day they had pads on. The first thing that stood out to me was Anthony Zettel. And that's really weird to say, but that was the guy who really kind of had my attention all day throughout camp. I think that was a guy who was really happy to put on pads because he was just, I mean, he was really getting after it. Like he was, especially in one-on-one drills, there was a drill where they would set up a tight end and a tackle, and the tackle would be pulling outside of the tight end, and the defensive linemen were going one-on-one with the tight ends. And Zettel was just absolutely having his way with anybody who was in front of him. Like, it didn't matter if it was Darren Fells. It didn't matter if it was Cole Wick. Like, anybody that was put in front of him, Zettel just made short work of. And that was something that was really good to see, especially with the defensive line depth issues that the Lions have, to see somebody stepping up to the plate like that, especially a guy who can crush trees in half. So that's a really good sign.
I was going to say, the Lions defensive end situation specifically is really tough right now, because not only is Ziggy out, but then you've got to deal with the Armonte Bryant suspension if he ever comes off PUP, because he's still on PUP too. And then you got guys, I mean, who else do you really have out there competing?
Well, Cornelius Washington got added to the injury list by the time I was there on Tuesday too. So
right.
You figure probably the two guys that were penciled in to start at defensive end, Ziggy and Cornelius Washington, out. That was, I guess, my other big takeaway from Tuesday, is that a lot of the rookies and second year guys were taking advantage of the injuries that were kind of happening at Lions, at Lions camp, with Ebron being out, Michael Roberts got more reps. Mm-hmm. Darren Fells really showed out. I know Alex talked about that too. We haven't talked about it in the podcast yet, obviously, but Darren Fells is showing himself to be a very capable receiver. And this is somebody who I think a lot of people expected just to be the blocking tight end, or the guy who's going to line up on the left side while Taylor Decker's out, just to provide, help. But I don't think that's the case at all. I think he's a viable receiving threat. And
Did you see him lined up at all, like in the slot position, or was he still kind of lined up on the line in a typical tight end situation?
Yeah, no, I mean, in 11 personnel, he was still lined up on the line. Even in 12 personnel, he was, he was off the line, but he was still closed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think you'll see him line up in the slot, because I just don't think he has that type of athleticism, but he definitely... He definitely has enough to definitely be, like I said, a viable receiving threat. So I'm trying to think of what else really stood out on Tuesday, but if you have a question, throw it my way.
No, I just wanted to say, like, we haven't had a chance to talk about, just, you mentioned all the injuries. We haven't had a chance to talk about it, because that started to come on down once again after we recorded our last episode, like the day after, like as I was trying to edit it during class and everything. It came on down, Cornelius Washington limped off the field then. We've had Ziggy Ansah out on the PUP list. I think you mentioned Eric Ebron. I can't remember what happened to him again. I don't have my notes in front of me.
He tweaked his hamstring, I think, in the very first practice.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Which is unfortunate.
Tavon Wilson went down as well. And if I'm not wrong, he's still wearing the red no contact jersey.
Yeah. And of course,
I was going to say on Tuesday, he wasn't practicing at all, but most recently at the mock game, he was out there with the red no contact jersey on, which is at least a good sign though, because I mean, they were still very physical in the mock game. And I know he's no contact, but still, I mean, the fact that he's out there and they're willing to even put him on the field is a good sign, I think.
Well, I find it fascinating you talk about Anthony Zettel there, because we were all talking about this guy being dead to rights pretty much. Yeah. And now suddenly, although granted the names you're throwing in front of him aren't exactly that impressive, but at least shows that, you know, he's got some service to him.
Yeah, I don't think I was the only guy here that was low on Zettel, but last season he didn't really show us a whole lot, and it's just good to see him kind of step up to the plate here with all these injuries. So
my large adult son, who is good at MMA and tackling trees, he's on the comeback.
it's all looking up.
Let me bring up another guy who's kind of had the opportunity to show some stuff in training camp along that defensive line, and that's rookie Jeremiah Ledbetter. I know there was like one day of the week where I think it was Kent was really excited about how he performed. Have you noticed anything in particular, Ryan?
I'm going to be honest. I've paid attention more so to a lot of the skill positions more so than I have the defensive line, but sometimes you do take notice when you're, you know, standing around a lot of these other guys who are interested in Lions, who write or cover for the Lions, and, you know, they'll throw out a name and then you'll start to pay attention to them. But I have seen Ledbetter line up. I want to say he's lined up inside on some snaps, lined up as a three tech.
Right.
And, I mean, he is a guy who alongside, I Ledbetter has had a few flashes in camp. Like, you know, you mentioned Kent made mention of that, but Jordan Hill, who I really viewed as maybe a depth guy who might stick with us. Mm-hmm. He seems like a guy who probably might make the 53-man roster. I thought he was just going to be a camp body, but I mean, this guy had a great mock game on Saturday and he has played really well in practice. He did on Friday as well. So, the defensive line is just such an enigma right now. Akeem Spence hasn't really had that great of a camp, though. Mm-hmm. I noticed on a few running plays, especially against the second team, like he was getting washed out, even playing that three tech position that he said he was so ready to play here in Detroit. And he was just getting washed out by, you know, Joe Dahl and these backup guards that the Lions have. So
it's interesting to hear you talk about Jordan Hill so positively, because out of all of the Lions kind of middling free agent signings along the defensive line, you know, not really much to get excited about. Field Goals, the Seattle blog at SB Nation, they were actually very, very positive about Jordan Hill, specifically saying like, if that guy can ever get his injuries in check, like, yeah, I think they said he had a Geno Atkins type ceiling to him. Wow. So the fact that he's, you know, impressing at camp is definitely a positive sign. If he can stay healthy, I don't only think he makes the 53. I think this is a guy who you could see in heavy, heavy, heavy rotation.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
Well, let's kind of put a little structure to that. I think we've gotten kind of the early tales out of the way. I want to move on here. I want to do winners and losers. Winners and losers. Wow. And what an original concept. Don't steal anyone. This is our, where we will, yeah, winners and losers. It's original. It's completely not done before. And we're going to talk about it for Lions training camp, which is wrapping up very soon, heading in towards the preseason. We're going to give you three winners, three losers. Gives us a chance to talk about some guys. And we're going to preview the preseason game coming up here. Preview to a preview of a season. And we've got a big mailbag. So stick around.
dealt with like an hour and a half of that at the mock game on Saturday.
I would have brought a needle to that thing and just popped everyone.
Was it mostly kids? Like, I remember they had like thunder sticks like at another mock game last year, but the one I went to. But I don't remember that many kids like banging on them. We've started, by the way. We're recording. So this is episode. This is not episode. God. Oh, we are very adequate this morning. This is segment two of the Pride of Detroit PODcast. Ryan has got his Thundersticks out, and he hasn't. Ryan, again, like, what was the story with the Thundersticks? How many were there?
Two is too many.
Yeah.
Because you can make noise with two. So it was just, I don't want to sound like Mitch Albom, but Thundersticks are bad.
What's the sound of one Thunderstick clapping?
These same kids who, well, there were kids seated behind me as well who also had Thundersticks, but they were having a discussion of would you rather.
Oh no.
Oh boy.
And the question was, would you rather give up TV for a year or mustard for a month? And this kid said, I love mustard. I can't give up mustard for a month.
What? Whoa.
It was the biggest hot take of the day. And I saw Beast F-Ball say that Jamal Agnew might be the best cornerback in the Lions draft class this year. So that says a lot. Mustard? You can't give up mustard for a month? What?
We need to fire this back to the crowd. This should be Ask POD. All of our friends who have been sending us great questions, we now want your take. Could you give up mustard for a year, like over TV?
It was just a month, right?
Oh, was it a month? Okay.
TV for a year or mustard for a month? If I had to eat mustard for a month every day, that would be a question. But
like maybe I'd be like a little less down on like hot dogs and maybe ham and cheese, but like I'm not going to miss mustard.
Gross. I am not going to miss mustard whatsoever. I'm not sure if I've had mustard in a month. I mean, I watch TV. That much is for sure.
Jesus.
I'm not a cord-cutting millennial, but can we talk about Lions football?
Yes, let's talk about it. Let's get into our completely original and...
innovative.
Yes, our original, innovative, completely brand new idea, winners and losers. And we have Ryan and Jeremy both have three winners and three losers. So we're going to just run down the line here, try to pump it out and kind of get you a sense of some of these guys. And I might have questions about a couple names that may or may not appear. I think I've got to give first bite here to Ryan Matthews, who did the shoe leather reporting. Let's get your three winners.
My three winners from camp. I have to say that one of the winners has to be Jamal Agnew. And this was a guy who some thought might be able to squeak his way onto the roster as strictly a return guy. But his play at cornerback has been so impressive that Jeff Risden put out a tweet saying that he could be a guy who might actually start at nickel corner for the Lions. I'm not ready to go that far. But for a guy who many thought like might end up on the practice squad, this guy has to be a winner because he was on first team kick returns. He returned a punt at the mock game for a touchdown. That was really impressive. And from what I've seen of him playing on defense, he's had a really good camp. So Jamal Agnew is definitely a winner.
Yeah, he's not on my list. I tried to put some kind of lesser guys on there just to make sure we didn't overlap too much. But yeah, I think if the expectations are for him to start week one at nickel corner, like Risden said, that's probably a little ridiculous. But I mean, with the optimism that's going around, I guess it wouldn't completely shock me to see him play in that position at least a little bit at some point in 2017.
Sure, I could definitely see him having a role. My second winner, and I want to remove any bias. But Jace Billingsley.
Whoa. Okay.
I think Jace Billingsley is going to make the 53-man roster.
My boy.
I truly believe that this guy has all of the skill set that the Lions want out of a slot receiver, and they need a backup slot receiver. They don't really have anybody else who's going to play in the slot outside of Tate. And, you know, Ebron will work in some snaps in the slot, I think, for sure as well. But I really just think that Jace Billingsley is the guy to step in and take those snaps. It's not going to be Galladay. Marvin Jones is going to line up on the outside almost exclusively. So
what about TJ?
TJ Jones dropped passes in the mock game. I really think that he's trying to make a case for himself because this is like make it or break it for him. But I'd have to give it to Billingsley because this is the other thing too, working in Billingsley's favor. Bob Quinn picked him up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a Bob Quinn guy. TJ Jones is not a Bob Quinn guy.
That's fair.
So I think that's what gives him the edge. And I really think he's going to make the roster this year. My final winner has to be Jared Davis. He might be on your list too, Jeremy, but Jared Davis is completely stepping up to the role of playing middle linebacker. Like he is the leader of that defense, and it's pretty apparent that he's making it known that everybody needs to be following him. Like he's very vocal at the line, making pre-snap calls. He's super physical. Like on Friday in practice, he was popping guys real, real hard and kind of just setting the tone for everybody else. Because after Jared Davis started chipping people, Antoine Williams was, Tyre Whitehead was. When Jared Davis had that big pop on Marvin Jones that saw him fumble the football, Glover Quinn grabbed it and started running up the sideline with it, celebrating, and all the defense was going, you know, bonkers for it. And it was so good to see that energy on the defense because that's what the Lions need to take that next step. So I'm really expecting big things from Jared Davis this season, as long as Jeremy's jersey has nothing to do with it.
I don't think it can be overstated just how impressive it is for a rookie to be doing all that, to be the vocal leader of a defense when, you know, for most rookies, just being in the league is so overwhelming. To command the respect of your peers coming in as a first round rookie, like that's not easy to do.
Yeah, you want to talk about a first round rookie? I mean, the guy is 21 years old.
Right.
It's insane.
All right, Jeremy, let's get yours.
I did a good job here because I managed to grab three people that you didn't. The first of which we already talked a little bit about, which is Darren Fells. I think he was absolutely the star of at least the first 3 days of camp. Just coming in there, destroying expectations. Like he, like you said, most people were just expecting like, oh, finally the Lions have a good pass blocking tight end. But this is a guy who's proven he can do it all. He's a huge guy. He's got solid hands, and he's out there making DBs and linebackers kind of look embarrassed out there. So I'm very excited about what Darren Fells brings to this team. I think a lot of people were excited about him, but not this excited. So he's done a lot to change expectations just in, what, 5 practices so far?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't taken a whole lot to really prove that he's a guy who's going to belong on the field a lot. Like, I feel like you won't see a whole lot of snaps where Darren Fells isn't on the field. And real quick to piggyback on the thing you said earlier, Jeremy, when I went on Tuesday and when I got out on the field and I walked up to the tight ends, I was like, Darren Fells is the biggest human being I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, he's a big boy. Let me move on to my number two. This is a guy that really not a lot of people are talking about, but everything that I do see about him is 100% positive, and that's right tackle Rick Wagner. He is kind of I think he at this point is the best lineman on the team. Maybe TJ Lang, but you know, he's kind of been in and out of the lineup through the first week. Rick Wagner has just been solid. Like the less you hear about Rick Wagner, the better. And I think that's why it's probably a good sign that we haven't heard that much out of camp. But I know Kentley Platy has been saying that I think, and he's been there literally every day, he saw Rick Wagner get beat once so far. So for Lions fans that have been frustrated with right tackle play forever, it looks like Rick Wagner is finally our guy. And that gets me excited because we spent so much money on him.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you mentioned that too, Jeremy, is that sometimes in training camp, if you're not hearing a guy's name or you're not noticing him, sometimes that's the best sign of all, because you know, especially for offensive linemen, if you're not hearing, you know, the offensive lineman's name, that's a good thing because he's out there doing his job. So it could be much worse. Riley Reiff is injured for the Vikings and Larry Warford is injured for the Saints. So I think the Lions dodge a bullet this offseason. Knock on wood.
And then my final guy is, I think, maybe the most hype around him that I've seen in a Lions rookie in a long time. And that's Kenny Galladay, who has just, day after day, he's on.
We've finally said his name.
Yes. He's been on just about every camp observations that you've seen from any writer any day. And Ocho Cinco loves him. Like, I really tried to pump the brakes on the Galladay hype before training camp because I just don't think there's a huge role for him in his rookie year.
He strapped a rocket jet to this guy.
He honestly has me questioning myself a little bit because just last week I was saying, I don't think the third wide receiver is going to be out there for, like, I don't know, 20% of the snaps. I think they're only going to be out there for 20% of the snaps because I think Ebron is going to take over that role. And now with Ebron sidelined and Kenny Galladay just tearing it apart in camp, like, I don't know, maybe the Lions offense will start looking a lot like it did last year. And maybe Galladay's out there on the outside and Tate slides inside. I just don't know, but I'm sure Jim Bob Cooter is excited to have this extra weapon in his arsenal.
All right. Well, real quick, that's what I'm talking about with the injuries that are happening. Rookies and second year guys are stepping up. And when you think about Galladay, I know some people were wondering, oh, he might play a little bit of slot when the Lions drafted him. I don't think I've seen him line up in the slot, I think, twice in all my time at camp. So I really don't think he's going to be the slot guy, which makes me think that he is going to get a large percentage of snaps because it's going to be him and Marvin on the outside.
Yeah,
with Tate at his much more natural position in the slot, I think. So, love Galladay.
All right, we're deep in this already. We got to move on to the losers real quick. So let's get to the losers. Losers.
You want me to give you my three losers?
Yeah, and then I've got some names I want to talk about that, you know, I was being adequate and had to close some windows, so I might have missed his name, but I will ask about one person later. But let's get to the losers.
So the guys who have really struggled in training camp, I have to say that number one, get it out of the way because I think it's overblown. So he's not the number one loser, but Tease Tabor. Okay. He's had a rough go of it at camp, but I think that there is still reason to be optimistic. Now, yesterday in the mock game on Saturday, a lot of people harped on him for a series of completions that he gave up to Jared Aberderis. Let me provide some context because some writers from MLive didn't do a very good job of it. Okay.
Okay.
In one of the plays, Tabor was lined up in off man coverage about 7 yards off Aberderis, who ran a comeback route and made a catch. But Tabor's hand was inside Aberderis's body. Like, he just couldn't get his hand on the ball and he would have made the tackle. Okay, if you're playing off-man coverage, those comeback routes are usually things that you're giving up, okay? That's the bend-don't-break defense that the Lions played last season. So I would not call that bad coverage. Some people will call that bad coverage. Anybody who says that a ball that's caught is automatically bad coverage by the cornerback doesn't really understand how football is played. So there was that play. There was another play where Tabor was in good position and slipped, okay? I saw that happen on Tuesday as well, and that's a tough break, and obviously you can't let things like that happen because those can usually lead to big plays when you slip. So that's on Tabor. It's just a fluke thing. But they ignore the fact that Tabor lined up against Kenny Galladay and there were no completions. Or Tabor was lined up across Marvin Jones and gave up one catch when he was against him for an entire series with the first team defense. But yeah, let's just keep on piling on the kid because he doesn't look so great in one-on-ones in press coverage when he's going against guys that are much bigger than him. So whatever, I guess Tabor's a quote unquote loser, but I really don't think so. My second loser, I would say, has to be Greg Robinson. He's had a really rough go of it in training camp so far. The left tackle position pretty much just looks like a disaster. And then my third loser, I would have to say, is Cole Wick, just because Cole Wick is perpetually a loser in my book.
Oh, wow. Jesus.
No, I mean, this is the thing, though, is that the one thing that he excels at is catching the football. And right. The Lions are doing this weird thing where they say they don't have a fullback, but on Friday they were lining up Teon Green as a fullback. They were lining up some tight ends as fullbacks like Kari Lee and Cole Wick. And Cole Wick was out there with the first team offense as a fullback on the goal line. And he dropped a ball out of the flats. Like, literally the one thing you can do is catch the ball. You can't drop passes at all. So, Cole Wick, sorry, man, you're a loser.
All right, Jeremy, let's get your losers. Let's get them in here.
All right, I mostly did a good job here. I had to mention left tackle, and I'm just going to...
Oh, look at you. You're self-congratulating yourself already. Let's hear it before we start clapping ourselves in the back.
Should I hold for applause? I'll hold for applause. All right. Okay, that's enough. I started with left tackle, and I go ahead and throw Cyrus Kwanjo in there with Greg Robinson because it sounded like there was just a turnstile left tackle during the mock game. Just anyone who wanted to get in the backfield was getting there, and I think Stafford was sacked, quote-unquote sacked, like four or five times in his two, three quarters of play, and that has got to be the number one worry for every Lions fan. Forget about the pass rush. Forget about defensive tackle injuries. Forget about Tease Tabor struggling early. Left tackle is the biggest concern with this team right now. And right now there doesn't appear to be a savior amongst the group. So unless, you know, obviously Greg Robinson and Cyrus Kwanjo, they didn't even get to go through mini camp with this team. So there are going to be some early struggles, but if there isn't improvement very soon, the Lions are in real big trouble there.
Yeah, considering we keep talking about, you know, biggest strength, Matt Stafford, well, he's not going to be much good to us if he's not upright because exactly. Someone just blows up the tackle every time. All right, who else you got, the loser?
This number two is going to surprise, I know, Ryan, because he put him on his winner's list, but I think Jace Billingsley is a loser after 1 week of training camp. Maybe I'm just trying to do a reverse jinx here, but to me, it sounds like TJ Jones has had a much better camp. Jared Aberderis is starting to turn it around after a slow start. Jace Billingsley has not shown anything on special teams from what I've understood. He's muffed a couple punts per day, it sounds like. And, you know, he's had some entertaining battles, it sounds like, with Jamal Agnew. But other than that, it doesn't seem like he's really separated himself offensively and, more importantly, special teams. Because if he's going to get that roster spot, I think he needs to win it on special teams. And I just don't think he's doing it right now.
Well, they also have him lined up on punt return on the outside. So
as a gunner?
On punt return, not like on punts.
Okay.
Yeah, so they had him there at the mock game on Saturday. But I don't know. Like, I'm not sure if the punt job is really his to win at this point, because I think guys like Keyshawn Martin are definitely – higher on the pecking order than him, but I'm still wondering whether or not the Lions are going to consolidate the return duties to just one guy. It seems like that guy might be Agnew, but I don't know. I think you bring up some good points about Billingsley. I see things differently, though. It might be my rose-colored glasses.
And that's the thing with the training camp. Like, everyone kind of sees things differently because there's so many things going on. I'm not even there, so you might have a better outlook in it than I do. But just from the reports I've reading, I'm not liking Billingsley's chances right now. But let's move on to my last one, and that's one Eric Ebron, a guy that we perpetually say this is going to be the year that he finally proves himself worthy of at least a first-round pick, maybe not 10th overall. But I have to say I'm very disappointed so far, and nothing against the guy. It's not his fault that he's got injured. I don't think he's, you know, being soft or necessarily even that he's injury-prone, but the fact that he's on the sidelines right now is very detrimental to the team. He's been around a lot, so sure, he knows the offense and everything, but I just want to see him out there. I want to see all the potential that we hope he has, and the fact that he's not out there is bad. It's bad for him, it's bad for the team, it's bad for us.
I also real quick too with Ebron, I think that the Lions are just being very precautionary with it. Yeah. And obviously a hamstring is something that can nag you the entire year. So he was out there for the mock game. He didn't play, but he was warming up in practice and everything before the mock game. So I think they're just being very, very cautious with him.
All right. And before I get us out of here, get us on to the next segment. One guy I know y'all haven't mentioned, but the name I've seen a lot of now, undrafted defensive tackle, I believe, or is he an end? being very, very adequate here.
Defensive end.
Jeremiah Valuaga. I know Kent's spoken about him. I think we've even got like an ask hashtag ask POD question. And seeing him, I think Jeff Risden spoke about him too. So what's your thoughts? Like, is he a winner here or no?
I mean, I think he definitely has. I mean, for an undrafted guy, he's had to do a lot to prove that he's a winner. So,
I mean, Kent was definitely saying how he stuck out as the best player on the field during the mock game. But this is a guy who came off the PUP on Friday, so we've only seen him twice.
Right.
But he's an interesting guy. He kind of had a troubled career in college. I don't think he finished a season in college because he had academic issues. But he was a guy that the Lions were looking at very early in the draft process. They brought him in, I think, a couple times. Kent wrote kind of a profile on him before the draft even happened, just because he was on the Lions' radar. And he's such an interesting guy that not a lot is known about him. So if there's an undrafted free agent that I think maybe has a really good chance to make this team, it might be him. It's still so early since we've only seen him in two practices, but he's definitely a guy that I think a lot more people are going to be paying attention to as training camp rolls on.
He has the best chance, point blank, of any undrafted player to make the roster, I think, especially because of the depth issues along the defensive line.
Take that, Storm Norton.
Jeez. All right, we'll come back. We are going to talk a little bit about the preseason game that's coming up on Sunday, and we'll get you kicked out. We've also got a huge mailbag, so we're going to try to keep it as short as we can so we can – I mean, we're going to give you everything we can, but we got a lot of people who want to ask questions, so mailbag is back to fury. All right, First Bite ain't back yet, but preview is on. Let's talk about preseason. So I guess I'll start this off. How many of y'all watched the Hall of Fame game for more than 10 minutes?
It was on for more than 10 minutes. I wouldn't say that I was watching for more than 10 minutes. I was definitely watching every time Kellen Moore was out there because I was just waiting for him to make a really bad mistake. Dude, and
he made it. I just want to say this. He made a touchdown pass to a guy more than 5 yards to a guy who has not played football since the eighth grade. So football's dumb.
To his credit, he was dropping some dimes in there. I think he also threw a pretty bad pick in the red zone, but he looked okay. I mean, his pass certainly doesn't have any more velocity on it than it ever did. And I think when you're playing against non second, third stringers, that's going to be a lot of trouble, but you know, who's accurate. I'll give him that.
Are you at the point where you would rather have Kellen Moore as the backup quarterback in Detroit?
No, never.
I am.
Are you really?
Camp has been so bad for the quarterbacks outside of Matthew Stafford.
I mean, yeah, you have a better look at it than I, but I want someone who doesn't throw like an out route with, I don't know, 30 feet of air underneath it.
Well, boy, do you have nobody behind Matthew Stafford that can do that.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, I mean, now that the Hall of Fame game is done and I no longer have to look at Jerry Jones's corpulent corpse on television, let's talk about the Lions. Let's talk about their preseason game against the Indianapolis Colts, which I think that's going to be in the afternoon.
Yep, that'll be Sunday afternoon, 1:30 kickoff, Eastern.
Mm-hmm. We got to say Eastern now because me and Jeremy are both Cali boys. What can we say here? Like, we're not going to see Stafford for very long, but I think the snaps, we talked about this here, left tackles, the turnstile. I think those first team snaps we're going to see are going to be a small sample, but they're also going to be very important, especially when it comes to trying to figure out, like, what's going to happen.
Yeah, if I had to guess, I'm going to assume that they're going to probably switch left tackles per drive. It'll be interesting to see who they put out there, but I wouldn't read too much into it, who's the first left tackle out there. I think that's number one on what I want to see. And also, we should maybe talk a little bit about this. They're going to have a couple of joint practices in the lead up to the preseason game. So that'll be something to kind of look at seriously, because if there's one thing I've kind of gathered from at least the first week of camp is that they've kind of kept contact to a minimum. Obviously they put on the pads on Wednesday or something, but they haven't really done full tackling yet. They're being very cautious with everything. I have to wonder if that sort of thing is going to continue once they're lined up against some opponents in practice.
Yeah, I mean, going back to what you said about the left tackles, I don't read too much into the guy who's out there with the first team. Yeah. I think that matters very little. Yeah.
So what else do we want to see?
In the first preseason game?
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see, because it's all going to come down to how the receivers play in the preseason. I think that's going to shake out which guys are kept. Now, last year, the Lions kept four receivers. I'm not sure if it's going to be four or five this year, depending on how many running backs they keep. And they've opened up another spot by not keeping a fullback. So, but then again, they may keep four tight ends. So there's one, maybe two spots for the receivers to claim behind Jones and Tate and Galladay. It's really going to be how the receivers perform in the preseason. I think it's going to be so crucial. Like, I mean, it's going to come down to who's running the best routes, who's getting open, who's creating separation, who's making catches. The guys who drop balls are really going to, it's really going to be an issue.
All right. Well, we've talked a lot about the offensive side of the ball. And I mean, we generally tend to, just because this is the kind of team the Lions are right now. It's not a defensive team anymore, but let's talk about the defense. Let's see, like, Jeremy, what exactly do you need to see out of the defense to just not assume we are just going to be just a goddamn sieve come September?
Well, the concerns start and kind of end with the front four. So I'm looking for someone to separate themselves from the pack, to show that if Ziggy stays out, or if he gets re-injured, or whatever happens with Zeke, that someone is there to provide pass rush, whether it's from the interior or exterior. Unfortunately, to me, there's not a lot to prove for the rest of the defense, because I'm going to go ahead and assume Andrew Luck is not going to play in this game. He's still on the pup list. So that means we're dealing with the likes of, I don't even know who's the quarterback there. Scott Tolzien.
Pretty sure it's Scott Tolzien.
Yeah. God.
Yeah. I'm looking Scott Tolzien, Philip Walker, a rookie. Out of Temple, and a second year player, Stephen Morris out of Miami. So the Lions are not going to be up against a very good set of quarterbacks this week. So I guess if the Lions secondary struggles against this set of quarterbacks, then we have a real issue on our hands.
But yeah, I'm seeing here that they might not even have Dante Moncrief for the Colts either.
Yeah, so we're talking about a beat up Colts offense, and one that never really had a good offensive line to begin with. So the defense better show up in some way or another. They better not get, you know, give up touchdowns on the first three drives or anything like that, or then, you know, my concerns will be a little raised. But again, we're dealing with a very limited playbook on both sides of the ball. So, you know, no reason to fully panic, but the Lions defense should at least show significant kinds of improvement from last year.
I want to see out of the defense, I want to see at least two turnovers, because I don't think that there's any reason that they shouldn't against, like you said, the quarterbacks that they're going to toss out there, the skill position players. I think the depth is kind of lacking for the Colts in terms of skill position players. And I think that was Bob Quinn's biggest play in the draft, was, and even in free agency a little bit, was getting guys who are going to make plays on defense, like Tease Tabor, you know, Jared Davis. I want to see a couple of turnovers, and I want to see them getting actual pressure on the quarterback, because that's going to do everything to help out the secondary, especially during the season.
And no injuries, right?
No injuries would be fantastic, especially, once again, that seems to be the way this team is teetering. Like, all it would take, like, who would it take to get injured for you to just say right now, oh God, we're not having a winning season, besides Stafford, of course?
I would have said Taylor Decker. But I've consumed enough Kool-Aid to curb that.
I was going to say, like, we kind of, I don't know, you really have to take that Taylor Decker injury into account before talking about the season. I don't know how much Kool-Aid can really fix that. I really don't.
Well, clearly not a Greg Robinson-sized glass of Kool-Aid. Or a Quanjo-sized glass of Kool-Aid.
Defensively, I'd say the least replaceable guy is probably Jared Davis, which is kind of scary to say about a first-round rookie, but
Who's never played a down in the NFL.
Right. But if he's gone, then you're essentially left with a, maybe even a worse version of the linebacking core that we had last year. And that's something to thought. Be. Yeah, exactly.
That will keep you up at night.
Like, yeah. even Darius Slay, like, I feel like the Lions added enough guys in the offseason where, you know, it's going to be a big hit, but there'll at least be bodies that they can put there.
Right.
If Jared Davis is gone, then suddenly Tahir Whitehead's back in the middle, and then who do you have on the outside? You know, Antoine Williams or Paul Warlow, who Falcons fans were happy to see go.
Fire up chips. Maybe Nick Ballore makes the roster.
There you go.
Jeez, man. This is already sounding pretty bleak. And it's just the Colts too. Like,
well, we're just preparing ourselves for the worst, like good Lions fans would.
I don't know. I feel like we don't though, right?
I do.
Like, I feel like once again, there's still the people out there saying this team on the right conditions, when the stars align and we make the proper blood sacrifices, we'll make the Super Bowl. And by the way, Stafford hasn't been signed yet. So
we almost got through it, Chris. We almost got through the first three segments.
You know what? I'm pretty sure I have a question in the mailbag about it. Speaking of which, we should just jump ahead right to the mailbag. What y'all say?
Sounds good, man.
Mail time.
It's big. We didn't have it on PrideDetroit.com last week, so I think this is revenge. So, Jeremy, do we have reviews?
Oh, we got reviews. We already did reviews.
We already did one last week, an extra one last week. So, we'll take care of that coming up next. Mail time, hashtag ask POD. As always, you know where to find it. It is the world famous Pride of Detroit POD cast mailbag, hashtag ask POD. Before we begin, as always, Jeremy, we have the reviews. Only one this week from our pile, Jeremy. We read three last week, so I'm not going to cheat you.
Okay, we actually got three reviews this week, so two will have to hold on until next week. And I'll say there's a theme amongst the other two that I won't read, and we'll just reveal that theme next week.
Oh, we're just teasing that out. Okay.
Yeah, I'll tease that out. We got a very nice review from someone named Field SVM. 5 stars, says my husband loves them, and it cut off on the iPhone. I think it said my husband loves them and they've started to grow on me or something like that. Just about every 1 to 2 weeks, I hear the guys on the podcast because my husband listens religiously. They are entertaining, knowledgeable, and true Lions fans. Don't you have to be pretty devoted to still be a Lions fan? I tease my husband about this every time he listens to this podcast. It makes him feel like these guys understand his love and fandom for the Lions. Good job keeping me entertained, too. There's something for even those who aren't Lions fans but enjoy football in general.
I like it.
That was perhaps like the most, I want to say, like legitimate, heartfelt review, which we don't get very often. We get a lot of jokey ones, which is fine too. But
we really do not. But we enjoy the jokes too. We also have something. I'm not going to count this as a review, but we did get an email. I know you got this, Jeremy, from a. I'll just say his first name, Gregory. I don't want to put him completely on the spot. He's asking about like LA Lions fans. Now they knows both you and I are living here, although I don't know how much more you're going to be there. But this is just resonating to me. Just the last sentence. I'm not going to read his whole email because it's a little more personal. But thanks to you two and the rest of the POD cast crew for keeping me sane on the 10. just want to say I'm a Cali boy now, and I totally understand the frustrations of the 10.
It's the 405 for me, but yeah, the 10 is awful too.
Well, yeah, because you're way the hell up in like, you're the 10s, okay, never mind. We're not going to do LA geography. We're going to get onto the mailbag.
We're going to turn into an episode of the Californians.
Play the theme from the OC.
California.
Here we come. I love that song. I played that as soon as I got on the road. So, all right, let's find some questions here. Let's go with, oh my God, I love this question from John Whitaker, Wrath of John. Is he an enemy of the show or is he a friend of the show?
Which would you rather be? Send us your thoughts.
I can't remember because we never really have a list.
He's no Josh LaFond enemy of the show yet.
I know he like alternated between the two because of a couple of questions he asked, but he asks us, if you could change Pride of Detroit's name to anything, what would you call it?
I would change it to Pride of Detroit and the of to be a lowercase L.
Jesus.
That's not my fault. I don't take responsibility for that. Pups of Detroit? Have we made the full turn to dog blog yet?
I think that's what we need to do next April Fool's Day. And it's not even really like anything that needs to be secret or a surprise, but I think just for a day we should become a dog blog.
I would go us to Kool-Aid Chaos. Chaos spelled with a K.
I like it.
Because that way it can be abbreviated to CAC. Hashtag ask CAC.
Oh God, we're 12.
Can we say stop for a moment and kind of pause and appreciate how perfect of a name Pride of Detroit is, though?
It's great.
I guess. Yeah. It's
I'm not trying to bury the other SB Nation blogs, but I mean some of them are kind of wonky.
Well, I mean, the fact that there are other SB Nation blogs that use the word pride, but none of them ring as true for them as they do for us since the Pride of Lions, right? No, but not because we're more prideful, but because of Pride of Lions.
Okay, I guess, yeah.
We're shameful. We're like Dusty Rhodes level of shameful.
Hey, there we go.
No one knows what that means.
We'll know who the Dusty... What the hell is this?
Whatever. Just let Jeremy try to tarnish the man's legacy. Whatever. Next question.
Okay, next question here from James, who is one of our fans from good old England. He asks us, what's the one fast food place I should try while over on holiday? James, we're going to have to know where in the States you're going to be on holiday, because I think that makes a difference in fast food. As I've learned very quickly, once I got over the Rockies, very different outlook on food around here.
Yeah, head to a Jack in the Box, two tacos for 99 cents.
Nope.
Jesus Christ.
Nope, nope, nope.
That is definitive Americana fast food, putting a slice of American cheese on a taco.
I mean, if we want the American experience, Taco Bell's the right choice.
No.
The complete bastardization of a foreign concept.
I know they've got like McDonald's over. I don't want to sound like ignorant on this because it's like, I know they got McDonald's over there. Is there Wendy's over there? Like, I'm trying to think what he wouldn't have had that he can get over here. Like, and the problem is,
White Castle sliders.
Oh, there you go.
That is kind of the American experience in that. I mean, if you're out west, maybe In-N-Out or Five Guys.
I want him to eat like the most degrading fast food that he can to feel like a true American, because when you finish a bag of fast food, if you don't hate yourself, then what are you really doing? You're not
fast,
doing it
fast right. Food really is kind of the counter to overwhelming American pride about everything.
It is
the counterweight. Yes,
maybe try some sort of gross KFC concoction, whatever their item of the month is. God.
No, just get the original recipe two-piece.
Can I be honest with you guys and tell you what I did last night on the way home from the bar?
Oh god.
I stopped at McDonald's and I ordered a McGriddle. and I ordered a McChicken with no mayo. And I took the chicken off the bun and I put it on the McGriddle and had like chicken and waffles.
Nice. I was going to ask, because like you took the mayo off, but then like that lettuce is just rancid. The McChicken lettuce is the most rancid thing in the world.
No, it's terrible. I threw it out the window.
Like I can't even have it on the chicken because like a stray piece will get in and it just smells and tastes like death.
And it's like stringy.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know how you've chopped up lettuce and made it go bad instantly.
One other thing, real quick, fast food you have to get. When you go to McDonald's, order French fries, but want them, salt. Order them without salt. Don't go to Popeyes, though. Popeyes is the worst. Don't go to Popeyes.
Why? They won't fall for your little scheme?
No.
Ryan had a very bad experience with Popeyes this week.
Very bad experience.
Let's leave it there.
I will not be going back.
They will not be a future sponsor of this podcast ever.
Thank you, Jeremy.
just Jets Pizza.
All right, let's get to some actual Lions. Oh, there's an idea. You should go to get some Jets.
Let's get Jets.
AJ Mojo asks us, just how screwed are we on the left side of the line until Taylor Decker returns?
I'm trying to, like...
9 out of 10. I think it's really bad right now.
Yeah, we'll just leave it there. I'm just going to do a bunch of... actually, he left us like 50. I thought a lot of these were just people asking us random questions. He left us 50 questions. Sorry, we've got to put a cap on this. I'm not reading a bunch of questions from y'all. You got your one in. All right, let's see here. Kudos asks us, who do you think will... What do you guys think... God, okay, I can read, I swear. Who do you guys think Kenny Golladay will ask present for him when he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Rory.
The mascot?
Yeah.
It's going to be Ocho Cinco because he's the one that really started the beginning of the hype of his career.
I hope it's Jim Caldwell, because then that means Jim Caldwell was his coach his entire time in Detroit.
Who else is who's big in the NFL from Northern Illinois?
Wasn't Michael Turner from Northern Illinois?
I don't know, but looking in the college ranks, I see PJ Fleck is from Northern Illinois, and I would love hearing a Hall of Fame speech from PJ Fleck. Row that damn boat. Bud Dog asks us, with Ryan being christened as the Dog Father, could we possibly get a new segment called the Dog House or the Dog Pound, where he spells dog with two G's, where he lets us know who to be mad at following a loss?
That's a phenomenal idea.
I like it. Stamp it. We can't go Dog Pound, though. That's a Cleveland thing. Oh, actually, now that I said that, that might be more impetus to you.
Now I'm even more interested.
Do you have anyone in the Dog Pound after the mock game? Who's in the Dog Pound?
M Live Writers.
Jeez. Put him right on the spot. All right, let's go back to Twitter. Ty Finch asks us, is Eminem a sandwich?
Ty, I hate you so much. I was just starting to get over this.
Another very inside reference to a Twitter war that happened pretty much throughout the entire preseason game, the Hall of Fame game, where Mike Payton...
The worst take he has ever had.
This is the thing.
Do we need to put him on blast right now?
Worse than True Romance over RoboCop, which he's at least owned up to. Like, just the worst.
That's fine, though, because I kept receipts. I took a screenshot of Mike Payton's Twitter profile when it said RoboCop is overrated. So we keep receipts over on the side. So be careful what you tweet and be careful what you include in your Twitter profile. But Eminem is not a sandwich. Eminem is spaghetti. He's mom's spaghetti.
Okay, I got to jump in here with this, though. I tried the hot dogs as a sandwich on someone, and they hit me with a variation that I had not considered before, and I want to open up this can of worms. Is cereal in milk a soup?
I've heard this one before.
Have you? Damn it. Okay, it takes the novelty off of it, then.
No, it's okay. I'm still undecided on it.
It's a soup.
I think I'm willing to accept that it's a soup.
If chowder is a soup, then cereal has to be a soup.
But then it becomes like, Is that Orbit's drink? Is boba tea a soup?
No, it's a drink. You don't get a. You don't put it in a bowl. What's wrong with you?
If I pour boba tea into a bowl,
shut the fuck up. Let's get to the next question. John Sims asks us: is it just me, or have we forgotten about Matt Asiata?
I have not forgotten about Matt Asiata.
That's a good question. We didn't talk about running backs at all.
I forgot about him.
Well, here's the deal with the running backs, and I know we're tucking this all the way in at the end of the podcast, but Dwayne Washington will not be a Detroit Lion.
Ooh.
Roster. That's my kind of hot take.
But wasn't he the first one out there returning kicks at the mock game?
He returned the opening kick, but I wouldn't read anything into that. Like, he wasn't returning kicks at he wasn't returning kicks on practice on Friday, and that was the first time I'd seen them return kicks. I just don't think that there's any room for him on the roster. I think it's going to be Abdullah. Obviously, it's going to be Riddick. Zenner is virtually a lock to make the team just because of his special teams ability, outside of, you know, returning and anything like that. But those three guys, and I think if they keep a fourth guy, it's going to be Asiata. I don't think they'll keep Washington.
N.E. Shaw asks us, if there is a cataclysmic injury to Stafford, Jay Cutler or Colin Kaepernick?
Kaepernick all the way.
100%. Yeah, it's Kaepernick. I'm sorry. Like, there's guys playing in the league who are worse, far worse than Kaepernick. And Jay Cutler would probably be worse. I'm sorry.
I wonder who would get the most backlash, to be honest. Nationally, Colin Kaepernick would get the most.
Locally,
I don't know. I mean, Michigan's a red state now, so who knows? That would be interesting. I feel like
you're not weighing in, Ryan. I've noticed.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Damage your brand. Come on.
How can any Lions fan get behind Jay Cutler? Like, I think in general his career is maybe overblown for how bad it was. I don't think it was as bad as a lot of Lions fans like to say, but who wants that guy on your team right now?
Come on, there's at least a story with Colin Kaepernick, you know, a potential, like, on the field redemption. Forget all of, like, you know, the political or whatever. But when I say redemption, I mean, like, the fact that this guy, like, I mean, I don't think he was as bad as he was. Like, I don't think last year was as bad as people claim he was. But at the same time, too, this is not Colin Kaepernick we saw in 2012. And I think there's a little part of me that just wants to see if he's still got that in him, you know?
Right.
Because he was amazing in 2012.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that's so crazy about this Baltimore Ravens situation. Like, how could you ever imagine going into a season and saying Ryan Mallett's our guy?
Jeez.
Like, yeah, do you hate yourself that much that you'd be willing to do that? Right. Like, if I'm a fan of the Ravens and the Baltimore Ravens are my football team, and they say, and your starting quarterback, Ryan Mallett, I'd be like, you fucking hate me.
I'd want a refund on my season tickets.
You'd have to hire an alarm clock coach.
An alarm clock. Jesus Christ. Oh, God. All right.
So bad.
One Pride asks us, favorite X-Men movie and character?
Oh, yes, baby. Let's do this right now. Right.
I have not actually seen a lot of the X-Men movies. I'm not going to lie. I do have a favorite character, though. But by all means, please continue.
I'm trying to remember what the name of the movie is, because there's so many of them.
Yeah, there was like 50 of them made.
First Class.
Likewise, there's like a bajillion X-Men characters if you go by the comics, too. Like, it's overwhelming.
Oh, yeah. They're all mutants. I'm going to go with X-Men Apocalypse, and I'm going to go favorite character. I'm going to say, oh boy.
Can we just limit it to the original team?
I'm going to say Psylocke.
Psylocke? Okay, I can get behind that.
I can get behind Olivia Munn any day of the week.
Jesus Christ.
Hey-o.
Oh. Oh, man. Jeremy, you got one here?
Nope. who's the blue guy that disappears and stuff?
Nightcrawler.
Sure, Todd Gurley.
Jesus Christ. He wears blue.
Should have said Eric Ebron.
Okay.
Oh, come on. That one's got two. Well, you took Nightcrawler, who I was thinking about. I'm going to have to go with Beast.
The other blue guy?
Yeah, the other blue guy who's also like super brainy and shit. Yeah. I like Storm a lot, too. Can't help but notice none of her. We're all just trying not to have the basic answer, which is Wolverine.
Dude, Wolverine's the worst X-Men.
Really?
That's not even a hot take at all. Like, he's the most boring character.
He's the only one that has a spinoff movie and like eight of them.
I think Rogue is worse.
I mean, yeah, she's whiny, but like, dude, Magneto is the coolest X-Men. Like, without a doubt.
That's what I like. I do not like a lot of the like Marvel comics, but I always grew up with like X-Men. The only thing I really don't like is that it gave us Deadpool. It gave us Deadpool.
Oh, you're not excited for Deadpool 2, Chris?
No, Deadpool is the patron saint of the most basic fucking nerds in the world. I will not get behind Deadpool.
But breaking the fourth wall is so funny and never gets old.
No, it's still original and amazingly good.
We're making a lot of enemies, the show. I get the
feeling. That's fine. Mansur asks us, I don't have a question, but I just want Chris to know that I think he is a very adequate host, XOXO.
Aww.
Weren't you yelling at Mansur, though, Ryan, about an Eminem take?
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Jesus Christ, dude. Okay. I appreciate it, Mansur. Reppin' Reno 420 asks us, I love that name, by the way. Should we be worried that our D-line is going to be close to the worst in the NFL? Anyone?
It's hard to see a lot of optimism right now with the defensive line, but I'm willing to hold out a little bit of hope. It's too early for me to make that proclamation, but it's not going to be a top half of the league.
Oh, by no means. I think even if they play to their potential, like if they play to their absolute ceiling, it would be hard for them to crack the top half of the league. I'm just hoping that there's enough guys. Like, I'm hoping that there's enough bodies that they can get enough out of the rotation.
It's bad. It's real bad. We just haven't talked about it a lot because I think we're just, like, trying not to admit the impending death.
Let's just hope Kerry Hyder has another level to him.
I believe in Kerry Hyder. Do you? Put you on the spot.
I believe in Kerry Hyder more than anybody.
All right. Respected Madman asks us.
He's also a guy who I got drunk with last night.
Oh, really? Okay.
Shout out Respected Madman, who is going to be an electrical engineer.
Okay. Isn't that what our own Jerry does?
I believe so.
I believe Mathis is finishing up his PhD or something, though.
PhD in electrical engineering?
Yes. Are you just trying to prove that you remember anything from last night?
It makes me seem like a better person.
Well, he asks us, how do you usually watch away games?
On my television?
With a TV. No, I have a
shout out. First off, shout out to my friend Jass, who is who got me a student discount for NFL Sunday Ticket.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah. And apparently it's all streaming now too. So I'm jacked in.
You'll be a little on delay, but you'll get it.
That's fine. Game, that's fine. Important.
Yeah. Is his name Hugh?
What?
Is his name Hugh?
No, his name is not Hugh.
Oh, it's not Hugh Jass.
Oh, you piece of shit.
That was Jeremy style right there. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I'm coming to life. I've had three glasses of water. I'm starting to feel like my normal self.
I feel great.
I want to go to a Rod Stewart concert right now.
Oh, boy. Oh, God. Should we close out the show by talking about that? Should we just talk about the worst take we have seen from this week?
I don't know.
Want to burn that?
I feel like it's hard to beat up a senile man at this point.
That's true. It's not sporting.
Yeah, I mean, look at the movies. They've even done away with the Uncle Ben stuff. Like, they've beat up on him enough.
Let's just say this. Old man. Somewhere in the near future, a nursing home is going to get a great columnist for their newsletter.
I just want to say too, like, hold up. I know, Ryan, you said Uncle Ben, but I just want to say, if Mitch Albom was in charge of Peter Parker, his advice to him would have been far more cynical than with great power comes great responsibility. It would have been something like, well, you have this power, you see, and you're going to have to make sure that that power is in service I'm losing my Mitch Albom. I'm sorry.
Everybody should lose their Mitch Albom.
Okay, last question. I swear we're going to get you out of here because we're starting to hit the long mark on this podcast. NC Burr 10, as we get ready for another glorious Detroit Lions season, ooh, it also reminds us that summer is coming to an end. With that in mind, my question is, what is the best beach experience you've ever had? I think I know the answer for Ryan.
I at least know the weekend it was for Ryan.
Guys, why do I not know?
Did you never make it out to the beach at Punta Cana?
Oh, yeah, I remember a beach.
Vaguely.
I definitely remember a beach in between Honolulu Blue Kool-Aid drinks, yes. Vaguely. I vaguely remember being sandy.
Shout out to Tybee Island, an hour past Savannah, Georgia. Before I came onto the POD staff, that's where I would spend my Sundays in like August and September, because I could get out there. Most of the crowd was gone already. I know it's not technically like summer, and I'm not even sure I'd recommend Tybee in the summer. There's probably better islands out there, but there's a place out there, Bernie's Oyster House, where I would go out there and get mason jars of Bloody Mary on Sunday after a very long day of drinking on Saturday for college football. And I would nurse that and some oysters and watch the NFL. They had like the whole Sunday ticket package out there. So I just sit out there on the sand in kind of a South Georgia that was cooling in September, but not autumn weather yet. And just sitting there in the sand watching football and drinking and eating.
That's a very nice visual to end this podcast on.
Yeah. 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 Find your beach, and welcome to our new sponsor, Corona Light.
My last hot take of the podcast.
Sure.
Summer is my least favorite season of the year.
Oh, wow.
Now that I live out in this weather, I agree.
As a teacher, that seems very strange of you to say.
Oh, Ryan shared a lot of horrors about summer school with us, though.
That's true.
Love my job.
I finally got the courage.
There you go.
To put my real name in my Twitter account, and also put USC Annenberg in there too.
Oh shit! Represent. Represent.
The braveness.
Shut up.
The bravitude.
Bravitude.
Bravery.
Bravitude.
This is not a good morning for any of us. I have 27 minutes recorded of our just shitting around.
Fucking great right now, guys. I don't know what you guys are worried about.
Fucking Mitch Albom.
But he calls these lyrics deep. If I listened long enough to you, I'd find a way to believe that it's all true, knowing that you lied straight face while I cry. This is just J. Cole lyrics.